Welcome to the Sober Gay Sunday podcast, a podcast about being gay and sober and not just on Sundays. In this podcast, we'll explore the ins and outs of being queer and sober in a world where drinking and using is woven into the fabric of our culture. This season, we'll be hearing the stories of addiction and recovery from sober gays from all over the world. Every story of recovery is unique in its own way, and every story deserves to be heard. So let's go. In this episode, we welcome back Rocco Steele. Rocco Steele is an internationally known porn star and business owner. He's celebrating 25 years of continuous sobriety. Please welcome Rocco.
I would just, you know, I would practice all of the things that, like, you know, I was taught, all the tools that I was taught kind of like when I was a newcomer, like, you know, in the early days of doing this, I was bookending, like making a phone call to a friend or a sponsor saying, okay, I'm going to this bar at this time, and then I'll call you when I come out of the bar, type of thing. Making sure, just little things, making sure I ate before I went into the bar. Even though, like, I knew I didn't have the cravings anymore, and the last thing I really wanted to do was pick up.
Yeah.
Or a drug. It was really the furthest thing from my mind. But I was able to intellectualize the fact that, you know, there's a reason for this, you know, halt concept.
Yeah.
Just, again, practice the principles. Mm. Eat. Make sure that my sponsor in my early years, like, he said, if you're going to a restaurant and everybody else is having a drink, make sure, like, you order yourself, like, you know, a fun fizzy little fruit drink or whatever. So, like, just so you felt like you had something. Mm-hmm. So I just make sure that, like, I had my, like, Diet Coke or whatever. And so, like, it turned out, like, it was very easy because I would see people get messy and it would just fill me with gratitude.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's so very early on. Luckily, I saw that. I was like, oh, this is what happens in bars and clubs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I was just so grateful that I could leave at, like, whatever, whenever my job was done,
yeah,
I'd walk out the door.
Yeah.
There was no reason for me to stick around, nor did I want to. And that's really what I did. I also just really kind of compartmentalized everything.
Yeah.
Whether it was a gig in a club or filming, it was like, that was a job that I had to do,
yeah,
for that particular moment. Mm-hmm. Not Rocco Steele full-time. I'm not that persona full-time. Mm-hmm. Like, but while I am, you know, punching the clock or on the clock, I'm Rocco. And, you know, Rocco does not drink. Rocco does not do drugs. Rocco leaves, you know. So there are other things that I did. My first sponsor would always say, have a safety net for yourself. So my safety net would be, I had to have my, and this sounds very diva, but you'll understand why when you hear it. I had to have my own fitting, like my own fitting room, my own, like, dressing area, or my own back, what do you call it? Green room.
Green room, yeah, yeah.
Green rooms were not fancy, so it sounds like really fancy, like, you know, Britney Spears or something, but, like, I'm so old, Britney Spears.
I get it.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I had to have my own space that was mine because I experienced very early on sharing the space with other people who were setting their drinks down, and their drinks would have things in them. And regardless, I didn't want the drink or the thing in it. And so very early on, I was just like, I have to have my own space. And I told people I'm sober. So I know there are a lot of people in the program who believe that anonymity means, you know, it's an absolute. And I'm not going to argue with that. But for me, this is what I had to do. I had to let people know that I'm sober to protect myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Stay sober. So, like, promoters gave me that. Like, they gave me my own space. I would not share it with Go-Go Boys, or because a lot of times it would be like me doing the show and then Go-Go Boys like doing their thing. And in the early days, I would have to share a space with them. But then I learned to not like allow that. So I would do things like that. And I would say, like, okay, if you want me to do a show and then you want me to do a VIP meet and greet or a photo session, it has to be immediately after the show so I can leave at this time.
Yeah.
So I would like just do all these things. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's kind of how I got through it. And that's how I wouldn't say stayed sober. I did stay sober, of course, but it was more about just like keeping my sanity and serenity throughout that part. Throughout all of that.
And it seems like the industry itself is pretty supportive of what you needed and what you, you know, your boundaries, it sounds like.
They were. Like, I never, yeah. And I'm thinking back over the years, I never had a promoter who would not give me that or would not allow me to, like, have that kind of safety net for myself. You know, that those promoters might have been out, you know, drinking and doing things themselves, and that's fine. But they knew that I did not, and I had to, like, have what I needed to have.
Mm-hmm. And have you found, like, a good amount of other, other porn stars that have been sober? Have you found any sort of, like, community within the industry? Or have you kind of stayed and done your own thing and just let them do their own sober thing?
Pretty much. I mean, it may exist. But like I said, I've compartmentalized it for 9 years, 9.5 years. For me, it was not a healthy community to be a part of. Other people I know have different experiences and say they've met lovely friends, they've met lovers, they've met boyfriends, they've met husbands. It just was not, it's not a, it wasn't healthy for me to be a part of that. I kept my distance. I stopped very early going to a lot of like the big like award shows and stuff like that. I think I did it my first and second year, and then I just stopped. So I just kind of stayed out of it. I didn't do IMLs. I didn't do, you know, market days. I don't do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I still have never done a market days. I've never done a Folsom in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just, yeah. It's just right for me.
Yeah. I think that's a, you know, a good plan. If it's not helping you, don't bother with it. You know, if it's, who in you right now is your biggest supporter in your sobriety? I mean, we can't do this alone. We all know we can't do it alone, but just generally, who's your biggest supporter?
Obviously my husband. My husband barely drinks. He doesn't enjoy drinking. He's the type who will, have that like a glass of wine, or he'll ask for like half a glass at a party and take like maybe one sip out of it. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like,
yep.
How can you do that? Like, right. So like, that's him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't enjoy drinking at all. And he's never ever done a drug in his life. So of course, like, he supports my sobriety and my recovery. I would say, you know, my friends that I've had, since the early days of New York City, friends that I got sober with. Mm-hmm. I have a friend right now who I got sober with years ago in New York City, is now transitioning. So it's just very interesting. Like, our friendship doesn't matter. Same person. So mm-hmm. Our friendship is she's still there for me. And I'm following her on her journey and supporting her on her journey. And we're kind of there for each other. So that's been kind of a gift, because that, as a result of kind of me supporting her, we got close again. And now, like, she's in my life and a great support for me and I for her. So, but then I also have other great friends in New York City. And they're there. Of course, it's far away. It's, you know, 6 hours ahead, but they're still there by text or phone call if needed, and I for them. So
awesome. I love that.
I'm a therapist.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. Here for that too. So if you could give a piece of advice to someone who's thinking of entering the adult film industry, what would be a piece of advice you'd want to give them?
I always try to talk people out of it.
I had a feeling.
I mean, I never wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to be in it. And I am grateful for, it has given me a lot of gifts. I will not lie. And my fans are amazing and have supported me, for many, many years. And I'm grateful for that. But initially, it's not something like I ever wanted for myself. So I would say, and especially 9.5 years later, the industry has changed so much. It's not even like this. I mean, this is what I would say. Try to find something else, because this isn't going to last very long. So, but if you really want this to be what you're doing, what you want to do right now, have a plan B, because this will not last.
Yeah.
Like porn was my like plan D. I've already had plan A, plan B, plan C. Mm-hmm. And that was like my plan D. So now, and now when that's done, I've got a plan E and F, right? Like, so don't, like, I see a lot of young people like jumping into it and thinking like it's the end all be all, but it's like, if you're good, you've got maybe 1 or 2 years of like making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're mediocre, you're going to probably make a little money and then, like,
yeah,
a limited amount of time left. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I would just say have a plan B, and just know that it's temporary, and also know that there's no celebrity in it. It feels amazing when you get like 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 followers, but like, it doesn't really equate to celebrity if that's what you're looking for. And
good advice. I think that's great advice. So if you could give some advice to someone who's newly sober, what would you give? What advice would you give?
Shut your mouth and open your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know everything. Just total surrender 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever anybody tells you to do. Take all the suggestions. Mm-hmm. Go to meetings, get a sponsor, work the steps, read the literature, like just soak it all in and do lots of service for the rest of your life. Like service isn't just during recovery. It's not just during, well, it isn't just to get sober. Mm-hmm. It's a lifetime. Service is what has saved me overseas, like when I couldn't get a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is the meeting situation like in other countries? I mean, I've only known what it's like here. Like, what is it like over there?
Well, I mean, obviously, like 12-step meetings exist all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the country where I live, they do not exist. So you can't just go down to the local church and, you know, find a 12-step meeting. I live in a conservative Muslim country right now, temporarily, but it doesn't mean that there aren't AA meetings in Muslim countries, because I know there are. I know somebody who's in Dubai right now and says there are great meetings in Dubai, but not in the country where I live.
Yeah.
So I actually found this meeting because I was in need of a meeting so bad and knew that living overseas was my life for now, for the next several years, that I was going to start an international meeting for expats. Mm-hmm. And then I reached out to some people and they had told me that they had thought they saw one somewhere on Facebook, expat Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And so then they did, and they found it and got me the information. And that afternoon I was in the meeting.
Great.
So yeah, that's what you do, really. I mean, yeah, if you can find 12-step meetings around the world, I have been to them in my travels, but where I live now, they just do not exist.
Yeah, Online has been helpful, yeah. Because even like when we went shut down for the pandemic, a lot of people, everyone for the most part, turned online. So it's kind of cool you could find that for yourself and where you are now.
Yeah.
So if you if you could give some advice to someone who has a loved one that is currently in active addiction, what would that advice be?
I'm in that situation right now, so I will just give the advice that I follow, and that is extend the hand of 12-step programs. Mm-hmm. Extend the hand. If the person wants more information, give them the information or take them to a meeting, mm-hmm. if they're interested. But beyond that, if the person, you know, my family member basically laughs in my face, and that's, I mean, I just have to be okay with that.
Right.
Like, that's all I can do. And I have now had to, there have been times where I've tried to have her in my life. And, you know, my mother passed last year. And there was a moment leading up to the time where my mother passed that I had her, this family member in my life, it's my sister, and my sister in my life. And then she just like one day vomited all over me, not literally, but figuratively. And like, I was like, no, that's enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like I've already tried to help you and extend the hand. You won't take that. So now I'm trying to be in your life as you're like an alcoholic, an active alcoholic. And I'm trying to find, like, create a relationship there. And it's just not healthy for me, so I'm just won't do it. So that's the advice I would give. Like, don't get pulled under by this person. Extend the hand. If they're interested, take them to a meeting, and then let go. Like, take action, let go of the results. This mm-hmm. is one of the most important things that have ever been told to me
yeah.
as a newcomer. Like, take the action, let go of the result. And then if you try to have a relationship with this person, even knowing they're not going to accept the help, don't get pulled under by them.
Yeah. Good advice.
Like, keep them at a distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So what's next for you? What are some plans that, you know, you're 25 years into your sobriety, what are some plans for your future?
Retirement from this industry. My goal is like in the next year. I think 10 years is long enough for anybody.
Right.
I'm just trying to like save a little more money for retirement. Like, I live overseas, so I am grateful that I have the opportunity to really kind of hop all over the world and to, you know, wherever we are, wherever we've been, it's just such a great launch pad to go see other parts of the world. And so I want to be able to have the means to do that. And that's why I'm kind of staying in the business right now, so that I can kind of sock some more money away so that I can have a good retirement and see the world. And that's really, really what my future looks like. I mean, I'm married. I want to just have a chill life, and I want to, you know, my priorities have really changed in the last couple of years with the loss of like two parents. And it's just watching a lot of illness. And I also, not to bring everybody down, but like, I also like lost an aunt that I was really close to also in the last 3 years. So mm-hmm. like, just like watching like aging and illness and that whole process has just changed my perspective. And I just want to live a healthy life, a long, healthy life, and hopefully have, you know, my loved ones around me for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really like, it's become that simple.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I want to be comfortable enough financially to, you know, carry me through, you know, the rest of my life, and give me and allow me to have care that I might need in my elder years. I mean, it's really become that simple. I mean, I'm going to be 60 this year. So, you know, it really, I'm like, when I was in my 50s, like, I was just kind of like, it's kind of like a happy, not happy ignorance, because I knew like what aging meant, but I just didn't think about it much.
Yeah.
But as I approached 60 and now I'm on the cusp of it, it just changes everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, okay, if I'm lucky, if I'm fortunate, I have this much time left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It goes by really fast. So, you know, you just start thinking like, I just want to be healthy and happy, and I want everybody around me to be healthy and happy.
Awesome. I love that. So if people want to find you online and follow, like, subscribe, all that stuff, where can they find you?
So
as you're like announcing your retirement, I'm like, here's more fans. Sorry.
Twitter is at Rocco Steele NYC. Instagram is Steel Your Daddy, STEELE Your Daddy. The OnlyFans is at Rocco Steele NYC. Just for Fans is at Rocco Steele NYC. And For My Fans is at Rocco Steele.
There we go.
I don't have TikTok, and I don't have all the other things that you kids.
No TikTok?
Have.
Really? No TikTok? No? Really? That's okay.
No. Yeah.
So as I mentioned earlier, I run an organization here in Boston called Sober Gay Sunday, and we do social events around the city. Kind of a fun way to celebrate recovery and celebrate being sober. So if you could pick like a dream Sober Gay Sunday event, what would it be?
I was thinking about that, and you know, and who knows, you may have already done this. I love dogs. I love them so much. I think if I lived like on an island full of dogs, like, I'd be so happy. So I actually do volunteer work in the country I live at, a shelter. And I just thought it would be so cool just to have a, like, go have brunch, and then everybody goes and helps out at the shelter all afternoon. Like, you know, walk the dogs, clean out the cages, just give the dogs a bunch of love. And I just think that would be a really cool thing, because I'm all about like dog rescue, and I follow a lot of like dog rescuers on Instagram and stuff like that. So that's of great interest to me.
That's great. That's a really good answer. That's super cute. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of dog lovers in my group too. So that might be a good one for the future. I'll write that down. So now that we're wrapping up, I just want to thank you so much for doing this. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's funny, I qualified at a meeting this week, and it was funny, like, and I always, like, after I qualified a meeting, I always, like, I don't know if everybody else does this, but I always beat myself up, because I'm like, oh, God, you didn't say that, you should have said this, but then you said, why did you say that? And so then I found myself just now, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm qualifying again.
Right, there you go. One of my last guests was like, this is great, because, like, you have so much time to talk about what you want to talk about, or meeting, you're kind of like, you're cut short a little bit. So I'm really glad you're here and able to share your story. And it's really going to, you know, I think it's going to touch a good amount of people. So I appreciate it.
I hope so. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning into the Sober Gay Sunday podcast. Please feel free to like, subscribe, share, and comment. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Sober Gay Sunday. You can also email me directly at SoberGaySunday@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, stay sober, guys. I'm so sick of small talk.